Now, it is my extreme pleasure to introduce Sonia Montoya. I love her. She was raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She and her husband, Ray, were a part of this body for many years. They both went to the School of Ministry. Her husband went to the Shepherd School, and they felt God calling them to the Valley, their Calvary Chapel Southwest. And God is doing miracles down there. He's doing amazing things through this congregation, and we are honored to have her here. She does a Bible study at her church, Brave. Thrive, but you did one on Brave recently because I follow her on Instagram. So are you at Sonia Montoya? Is that how easy it is? At Sonia 316, of course, because she's got a Jesus something in there. Sonia's favorite quote is, "Nothing ventured, nothing gained." So would you please give a warm welcome to a hometown girl, Sonia Montoya.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you this morning. I feel right at home here at Calvary ABQ. I grew up in this fellowship since I was 9 years old, believe it or not. I have had the privilege of learning under Pastor Skip Heitzik and Lenya for many years. It is here where I met my husband. He sat right there in the middle row, right there with your red sweater in green. And I would always sit several rows behind him, so for the longest time, I could only see the backside of him, which I did observe that he wore Levi jeans and cowboy boots. Well, true confession, Lenya, where are you? I did kind of name him and claim him in here. I said, "Lord, I want him." There was just something special about him. He had such a godly demeanor. Well, eventually he did introduce himself to me, and the rest is history. We have been married for 15 years. We have 4 beautiful children, and we are pastoring a church in the southwest part of Albuquerque. It's a joy to be here. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much, God, that you have given us the opportunity to come and to be in your presence, Lord. Father, we thank you for the word of God and for the power of it, Lord. We know that, God, you speak to us on an individual and on a corporate level. And this morning, Lord, I pray that you would capture our hearts. Father, that we would hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us, the church. I pray, Lord, that we would leave this place changed, God, and rearranged and refocused and refreshed, Father. I pray, Lord God, that we would humbly submit ourselves to the moving of your Spirit, God, that we would not turn our ears away from you, Lord. For now is the time, God. You want to speak. You want to move, Father. And I pray that you would have your way, that you would be glorified, that your presence would be known in this place. And Father, bless the women. Thank you so much for bringing them here this morning. I pray, God, that you would bless their hearts and refresh their souls. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, the Christmas season is here. People will be on a crazy hunt trying to find the perfect gifts for everyone on their shopping list. In fact, the craziness already started on Black Friday. How many of you are part of that craziness? Raise your hands. Not a whole lot? Wow. Were you home sleeping? I was out. I was part of the craziness. Well, Black Friday was a day where people were fighting over Barbie dolls, waiting in long lines, and driving across town. Why? Because everyone wants that perfect gift. I remember many years ago, coming from a large family, we have to draw names. There's too many of us to buy gifts for everyone. You know how us Hispanic families can be. We multiply like bunnies. And so we have to draw names every single year. And this year, this particular year, I picked my 80-year-old uncle. So I had to go shopping for my 80-year-old uncle, and I thought I found the perfect gift for him. It was a nice, cozy flannel shirt that I thought would be perfect for him. I went to the Christmas party with gift in hand, and I thought everything was wonderful. Until after a couple days later, my grandma gives me a call, and she says, "Sonia, you gave your uncle the wrong gift." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" She said, "You gave him a little boy's shirt, a size medium in little boys and not in men's." Now, I can only imagine my family, the word spreading and everybody finding out what I did. And they were probably hoping that I will not pick their name the next year. I failed miserably in my attempt to buy the perfect gift. But aren't you glad that God doesn't fail when He gives us gifts? Aren't you glad that He doesn't fail? He doesn't give us the wrong thing. He doesn't pick the wrong size, the wrong color. God always picks the perfect gifts for us. He knows exactly what we need. He has fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of us, and He knows us by name. Therefore, His gifts for us are perfect. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." The gifts that God gives are good. His gifts are good. They're helpful. They're pleasant. They're excellent. They're beautiful. His gifts are a benefit to us as well as a benefit to others. It is His favor. When He gives us gifts, He favors us. He lavishes us with special gifts, and His gifts are good. A gift is something given to someone without the expectation of payment. It is something voluntarily transferred by one person to another person without compensation. If someone gave you a gift, would you respond by pulling out a couple of 20s and saying, "Here, let me pay you for that"? No, you wouldn't. A gift is free, and the person giving the gift pays the price, not the person receiving the gift. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." How often does God load us up, ladies?
Daily.
He daily loads us with benefits. I love that. I love that vision. I could just picture God just loading us up every single day with blessings, with benefits. Matthew 7:11 says, "If you then, being evil," and yes, we are evil, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Now, many of you are parents, and this Christmas, you will do your very best to bless your children with those good gifts, with the perfect gift, with the gifts that are on their list. My kids, I have 4 children. They've already written out their whole list of Christmas items that they want, and some have already used the backside of the paper. It's a little extreme. I will do my best to give them the best gift possible. But how much more does God the Father know how to give us good gifts? Psalm 84:11 says, "No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." God doesn't hold good things back from us, ladies, but the key is that we would walk uprightly, that we would walk in right standing with God, that we would be right on with our God, that we would keep short accounts, and we would be in good standing with Him. And no good thing will He withhold from us. God knows what gifts to give us. He knows what we need as we journey through life. He knows the trials we'll face. He knows our victories. He knows our highs and our lows, our mountain peaks and our valleys. God knows the perfect gift to give us. Good gifts come from a good God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Good gifts come from a good God. I love what Francis Chan said. He said, "The greatest good on this earth is God, period. The greatest good on this earth is God, period." God's gifts are not only good, but they are perfect. They are perfect. That word perfect in the Greek means complete. It means finished. The dictionary defines perfect as flawless or lacking nothing. God's gifts are flawless. They are complete. It is the whole package deal. And He benefits us freely with these perfect and good gifts. Notice where these good gifts and these perfect gifts come from. They come from above. They come from heaven, from a higher place. Do you ever wonder, God, where did that gift come from? Lord, where did that blessing come from? Now you know. It came from heaven, from that higher place, our future home. It also comes from the Father of lights, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the universe. Those good and perfect gifts come from the Father of lights. The one who said in Genesis 1:3, let there be light, and there was light. Those good and perfect gifts come from the one who is our everlasting light. Isaiah 60 verse 19 says, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light. There is something noteworthy about the Father of lights. There is no variation or shadow of turning with him. There is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, God doesn't change. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? God doesn't change. There is no variation or shadow of turning. If you think about a shadow, what is a shadow? A shadow is a reflected image, and it is an imperfect representation, isn't it? Just take a look at your own shadow one of these days. Stand there and you scope out your own shadow, and you're like, ooh, that doesn't look like me, does that? Right? Everything's a little stretched, long. Everything looks bigger, wider, longer. And you're hoping that doesn't really look like you. I don't know about you, but I do. I see myself in the shadow, and I'm like, ooh, I turn away this way. Shadows change. God doesn't change. God doesn't change like shifting shadows. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. For I am the Lord, I do not change. God does not change, ladies. He does not shift from moment to moment. He doesn't change. He's not temperamental. One minute he's up, the next minute he's down. No, God doesn't change. When God gives us a gift, he gives them for a purpose and for a reason. He doesn't just give us gifts so that we can hog them to ourselves and say, mine, 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 the way my kids do. But he gives us gifts for a divine purpose and a reason, so that we can use them, so that we can turn around and benefit those around us. If you think of the gifts of the Spirit, why does God give us the gifts of the Spirit? So that we can benefit one another in the church, so that we can bring our gifts into the church and use them for God's glory and for the edification of the saints. God has a reason for every single gift that he gives to you, ladies. God does not take his gifts back. He doesn't say, well, let me have that gift back. We call that Indian giving, right? We used to say, don't be an Indian giver. Don't take your gift back from me. This is my gift. God doesn't do white elephant gift exchanges with us. And for that, I am thankful. He doesn't give us a white elephant gift where you never know what's going to be inside and you're just so disappointed when you open that gift. I'll never forget. One year we did a white elephant gift exchange with my family. And at the time, our youngest son, Noah, was only 5 years old. Now, a five-year-old knows absolutely nothing about a white elephant gift exchange. All they know is there's lots of gifts. They're wrapped. They look amazing. And they just want to tear through those gifts. Well, when it came to my son picking his gift, he couldn't decide. He took a long time looking and picking them up, putting it down, picking up another one, and everyone was getting mad at him saying, hurry, just pick one. And so he finally picks one and he's opening it up and he has a big smile on his face because he's excited. And all of a sudden the wrapping paper comes off and lo and behold, it's a box of pasta. What does he do? He gets the box of pasta and he throws it and he runs out of the room crying hysterically. I tell you, we messed him up big time. I was watching the video the other day because I wanted to try to show it to you guys, but it was too long and I couldn't do it. But he was devastated. I mean, we really messed him up with that gift exchange. But I'm so glad that God does not do that with us. God does not give us something ridiculous and we open it up and we just want to launch it out. God's gifts are good and they are perfect. But gifts can be deceiving, can't they? The outside wrapping could look super fancy. The box could be big, and what do we think? It's good. Whatever's inside that box has to be good. Well, don't let the paper and the ribbons fool you, because you never know what you open up. But with God, you will never be disappointed. Never. He will never disappoint you. When He blesses you with a gift, you will gladly receive it, and it will be beneficial for your life, but also for those around you. Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." They are irrevocable. In other words, they are impossible to revoke or cancel. There is a gift that can't be purchased at a store. All the money in the world couldn't purchase this gift. This gift is priceless. It is a gift that never runs out. It never gets old, and it never fails. This gift is the gift of love. Everyone is longing to be loved. Would you agree? Yeah. Everyone is longing to be loved. And God has created us to love and to be loved. Love is beautiful. It is powerful. And it is life-changing. I want you to think about the love of God for just a moment. Think about the love that God has for you personally. Jeremiah 31:3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Ladies, God loves us with a perfect love. A love that is continual. It is never ending. And we can take comfort knowing that God will never, ever stop loving us. He will never stop loving us. There is nothing that we can do to make God love us anymore. And there is nothing we can do to make God love us any less. It's with His loving kindness that God draws us to Himself. He does this because He longs to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And He promises that if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. The love of God draws us close to the Father of lights, to the Creator of the universe. That's what love does. Love draws people together. God told us that He loves us, and that He loves us with an everlasting love. But He also showed us that He loved us. He demonstrated His love by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born as a babe, taking on human flesh, and ultimately hanging on the cross for the sins of the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amy Carmichael said this, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." If you love someone, you will automatically want to give to that person as an expression of your love. It will be an automatic response of your love for that person. And that's exactly what God did for you and me. He loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son, the perfect and spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ, the best of the best, the holy and anointed one. And on that day, love came down, majesty left heaven, and riches were exchanged for a cross. What's mind-blowing is that we didn't do anything to receive this perfect gift. We didn't earn it. We weren't good enough to deserve it. That's what you call the grace of God. And every gift that God gives us is by His grace. God sent down the perfect gift of love, even when we were separated from God and lost in our sins. Romans 5:8 says, demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Perfect love was displayed on the cross as Jesus bore the sins of the world. And he said, "It is finished." John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." It wasn't the nails that held Jesus on that cross. It was love that held Jesus on that cross. He had the power to come down from that cross. He is all-powerful, mighty God. He could have come down from that cross, but love kept him there. Jesus died for the world, not just for those who would love him back. Jesus died for Judas Iscariot, a man who would walk side by side and then betray him. Jesus died for Simon Peter, one of his disciples, who denied him three times. Jesus died for the Samaritan woman who was married five times and living with a man. Jesus died for a sinner like me. Through God demonstrating his love for us by sending his son Jesus, we clearly see that love is sacrificial. Love is sacrificial, ladies. Do you love others sacrificially or superficially? Mother Teresa said, "Give, but give until it hurts." Give, but give until it hurts. And that's what love does. Love sacrifices, and love gives and gives and gives. And yes, sometimes we do get hurt when we love, but we have a healer. We have a God who heals our hearts, a God who heals our wounds. We're called just to keep loving and loving. I don't know about you, but when everything's all said and done on this earth, I want to be known and I want to be guilty for loving people. That's what I want to be guilty for loving people. Give, ladies, and give until it hurts. And our love will be put to the test. Our love will be tested with those closest to us, our spouse, our children, our family members, our co-workers, our church family. Our love will be put to the test. And is it possible for us to love one another with the greatest gift of all? It is possible. And we can't do it in our own strength because our love is conditional. It only goes so far, and then we say, "We're done. I don't have any more love to give." And that's why we need the love of God poured into our hearts, because it's a love that never runs dry. It's a love that keeps on giving. Our love is limited. It is temperamental. It is conditional. I'll give to you if I feel like it. I'll give to you if you're nice to me. Or if you give me a gift, I'll give you a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 paints a beautiful picture of what perfect love looks like. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Imagine what our relationships would look like if we gifted one another with the gift of love. Marriages would be restored. Marriages would be healthy and thriving. Parents would be closer to their children. Broken relationships would be healed. Just think about the power of love. And only God's perfect love can bring such amazing and glorious results in a person's life. We can never underestimate the power of God's love, ladies. God has a deep love that He wants us to show the world, an unconditional love that will leave marks on every person we come into contact with. Do you want to leave a mark? Do you want to make a difference? Because love is a mark. Love is what marks us out as knowing Jesus. He says that they will know that you are mine by the love that you have for one another. God wants us to be benefactors. Someone who gives a benefit to someone else. It is the action of showing God's love. And it should benefit others. Can you think of someone this morning in your life that can benefit from receiving the gift of love? Maybe it's the person you struggle with most. Maybe it's the people that you live with or work with. I want to encourage you to commit to two things. Commit to being intentional in showing that person the love of God. And when I say be intentional, that means you need to really go for it. You need to put some heart and thought into how you're going to show this person that you love them. Be intentional. And second, tell them that you love them. Tell them that you love them. Lenya was just talking about those words, and she was looking out to you and saying, I love you. There's power in those words. Tell your family and your loved ones you love them. Don't take for granted that they automatically know that you love them. They need to hear it. They need to feel it. They need to experience it by what you do and say to them. God has freely given us the gift of love. In 2 Corinthians 2:12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Wow, that God would make us aware of this, knowing that it has freely been given to us. We've done absolutely nothing to earn the love of God. And with that, ladies, it should be easier and help us to love other people. Especially when we don't feel like it, we should remember, God, you love me, a wretched sinner. You love me. Help me to love them. Help me to see beyond their sin. Help me to see beyond their weaknesses and their failures and the annoyances. God, get me beyond these pet peeves. The reality is that we battle with loving other people, especially those who have hurt us, offended us, or sinned against us. Love can be hindered. If we're not careful, unforgiveness and bitterness will take root in our hearts and hinder us from genuinely loving others. Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Do you see the power of love and the power of God's forgiveness? We can forgive because we've been forgiven. And when you've been forgiven much, you can forgive much. You realize, God, I'm unworthy of your forgiveness, but yet you have lavished me and have forgiven me, and you have loved me in spite of my sin. What is keeping you back from fully loving others? Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? If so, confess it to the Lord and tell him and ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, who will empower you to forgive those who have offended you. Proverbs 10:11 says, love covers all sins. It doesn't say that love covers some sins, the sins that we want it to cover. It says love covers all sins. The ugliest, the darkest, the most wicked, sins. Love covers all sins. May the love of God compel us to love one another. May his love compel us. May it cause us to go out and love other people. Life is too short, ladies, to have unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts. Now is the time to love. Don't let another Christmas season go by with unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart towards your loved ones. These family events that you will be at, these gatherings, let the Lord bring that animosity down. Let him break through the walls of unforgiveness. It's time for change. And we can't expect something different if we continue to do the same thing. If we continue to hold on to those past grievances and those past offenses, nothing will ever change. And time will go by. And before we know it, the end will be. Time is short. I don't have my brother-in-law, Brent, here this Christmas. He was 31 years old when he died, and he went home to be with the Lord. Did we expect it? Absolutely not. We received a call out of nowhere. My sister called me on the phone and said, "Sis, we're in the emergency room. Brent, they found a tumor in Brent's head. Please pray." And I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea that he would battle cancer for a whole year, go through surgery, and almost die on the operating table. And that would be it. He went home to be with the Lord. He left behind my sister and her two sons. My point is we never know. Life is short. We never know when we'll get that call from that loved one who will have cancer, who will be sick. And I'm not saying that to use it as a fear tactic. I'm saying it because it's reality. The time is now, ladies, to love. Let it go. Whatever you're holding on to, let it go. It's not worth it. God can teach you how to love them again. God can heal your broken heart, your hurting heart. His perfect love can wash over you and heal you. God wants to break our hearts wide open so that we can be free to love. You see, because we put a wall around our heart and we keep an arm's distance from people and we say, "Don't come too close." But God wants to break open our hearts so that we can be free to love and free to love again. If you are afraid to love, let God's perfect love cast out that fear. Nothing is impossible for God. It's never too late. Your situation is never too hard or too bad that God cannot restore your marriage, your relationship with your children, your grandchildren, your church family. God can do it, ladies. May the love of God just fill this place even now. God wants to do a mighty work. He wants to pour out his love and his spirit into our hearts and upon us. His desire is reconciliation, that we would first be reconciled to him, and then we would be reconciled to one another. He wants his love to rule and reign like never before. You might be thinking, "Oh, but I'm a loving person. You don't know me." But we could be more loving. Right. We can be more loving and more Christ-like. God wants to awaken us. Awaken our souls and awaken our hearts. That we would be refreshed, that times of refreshment would come into our home and into the places we go and into our church. That it would be a time of refreshing. Why? Because love is overflowing. God desires to satiate our souls with abundance and satisfy us with his goodness. And you can leave this place forgiven, and you can leave this place free. Whether that means receiving the forgiveness for your sins or choosing this day to forgive the offender. And you leave here free, because the one who's in bondage is not them, it's you. But we must respond, ladies. We must respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit that may be taking place even right now. We must respond to a loving and a holy God, for He is holy. And the Bible says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He stands at the door of our heart and He knocks. And He knocks. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. You're the only one who can open the door. He's standing right at the heart of your, at the door of your heart, knocking. Maybe you're here and you know that you need to receive the perfect gift of God's love. You need to receive it for yourself before you can go out and give it to others. And you realize that. In just a moment, I will give you an invitation to do that, to ask the Lord Jesus to come and to fill you with His love, to forgive you of your sins. Or maybe you're here and you simply need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to forgive those who have hurt you, that you would walk in freedom and walk in love this Christmas season, and that you would start a new year fresh with forgiveness, that your heart would be free, that your heart would be free to love. You can do that, ladies. You can know love. But we must know the God of love in order to give out that love. You can come to know God through a personal relationship with His Son, Jesus. 1 John 5:11 and 12 says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So I stand before you, and I present the perfect gift, the gift of love. For God so loved you that He gave His Son for you, that if you would believe in Him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that, God, You love us with an everlasting love. God, You run after us. You're in love with us, Father. You are the lover of our souls. And God, Your love is everlasting. Oh God, that we would know the depth and the width and the height of Your love. Father, I pray that You would take us deeper in Your love. God, that we would receive the love of God for ourselves personally. And then we, God, in return, would love others with the love of God. With that same love, the love that we don't deserve. But God, You freely give it to us. And Father, I want to pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who needs to receive the gift of love, the gift of eternal life through Your Son, Jesus, I pray that they would recognize that they need a Savior and that, God, their love is limited without You in their life. I pray, God, that they would recognize their utter need for Jesus Christ. And with our heads bowed and no one looking around, I'm going to ask if there's anyone here who needs to receive the Lord. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can acknowledge you and lead you in a word of prayer. God bless you and you. Anyone else who needs to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they need eternal love living inside of them so that they can go out and love those in their home, in their workplace. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to lead you in a word of prayer to receive Jesus. God bless you. Anybody else? Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and He's knocking. You have the choice, ladies. You can open up the door of your heart and you can let Him in. Or you could leave Him there and He'll continue to knock. God bless you. Anyone else who wants to receive the free gift of eternal life, the love of Jesus? Maybe you once gave your heart to Jesus and you've walked away and you haven't been living the life that you should be living for Christ. If that's you and you want to rededicate this morning, raise your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Raise your hand. God bless you. Don't be ashamed, ladies. The Lord is not ashamed of you. He said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. The time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no man. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? Raise your hand high. In total surrender, say, I want Jesus. God bless you. I need Jesus. I need that everlasting love that will never run dry. Anyone else? Amen. Can we just stand? If you raised your hand this morning, I want to lead you in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask you to say it with all of your heart. You're saying it to the Father of lights, the God who blesses us with every good and perfect gift. And I want you to mean it with all of your heart. You're not saying it to join a church. You're not saying it to be religious. You are doing business with God. You are entering into a personal relationship with the lover of your soul. And so if you would say this prayer out loud, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender all. Please forgive me for all of my sins and cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and fill me with your everlasting love. Help me to love you, Lord, and help me to love others. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.